Hey there, it's Gary Zimak. Welcome to the Friday edition of the program. Great to have you with us here on Blog Talk Radio. On today's program, we're going to look at the mass readings from the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Getting toward the end of the church year, there are 34 weeks in Ordinary Time, 33 weeks that are numbered, and then we have the 34th Sunday, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. And then what happens is we go into Advent. So we are relatively close to heading into Advent, so we're wrapping up the church year right now. We're going to read those readings today on the program. And in addition, if there's time, we're going to take a look at what the Catechism has to say about sacred scripture. So that's what we've got planned today. I hope you've got a beverage, hope you've got a snack, hope you're ready to get started. I want to remind you, before I kick things off with prayer, that Mystic Monk Coffee, and you can get Mystic Monk Coffee at followingthetruth.com, they have now made available Jingle Bell Java. So it is available for 2017. I think it's their best flavor. It's always been one of my favorites. I think according to the description, it's made with tastes of flavors of white chocolate and bourbon, and there's a couple other spices thrown in there. It is a very unique blend. Jingle Bell Java from Mystic Monk Coffee. Check it out. You can buy your Mystic Monk Coffee at followingthetruth.com. And when you do that, not only do you support the work of the monks, not only do you get yourself some great coffee, but you support yours truly in his ministry also. So I would be grateful for your support there. And remember, for more information about my work, just visit followingthetruth.com. I would love to speak at your parish. I'm currently booking speaking engagements for 2018. So if you're interested in having me come out, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father, thank you for giving us a new day. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to gather together to learn about you, your Son Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Catholic Church. We're grateful for this time together. Father, we ask you to strengthen us as we go about our daily work, whatever it may be. Help us to always see you. Help us to be able to see you in all things and all people. Father, help those who are lonely. Help those who are anxious. Help those who are struggling with doubt or despair. Help those who are battling addiction. Help those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions. Help those who are homeless, those who are homebound. Please, Father, we lift up our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to put an end to abortion. We ask you to watch over and continue to guide our elected officials, our government leaders, and we pray for world peace as well. And I pray today, Father, that you will speak through me on the program, that you will use my words, my voice, to proclaim your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, I'm always excited when we get to spend this time together. Hope your week went well. I was thinking about this earlier today. The spiritual journey, it's a series of ups and downs. Sometimes you're going to feel really good. Other times, you're going to feel really low or really down. That's all part of it. It doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong necessarily. I mean, there are times when it could mean that you're doing something wrong, but it doesn't have to mean that you're doing something wrong, because sometimes God allows that to happen, to have us go through this lack of feelings, if you will, because he wants to make sure that we grow in faith and that we are loving him and turning to him, not just because it feels good, but because we do it out of love. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to help grow our faith. And there are going to be times when you will have to struggle. Keep on going. The fact that you're listening to this program, that's a good thing. So if you're feeling a little down today, we're going to hear the Lord speak to us through sacred scripture from the Sunday Mass readings. And that's a good thing. I think we need to, it's always good to expose ourselves to his word, and to be able to let it sink in, right? And then to speak back to him. So have that dialogue. If something strikes you in the mass readings, go back to the Lord and talk about it with him. Sometimes you might be challenged. Of course, we don't always hear the things that we want to hear through the Bible, but that's an opportunity for dialogue. Hey, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get this. This doesn't make me happy. This upsets me. Have that dialogue with him, and then listen to what he says. I know it sounds weird, but until you start doing it, you're never going to appreciate it. You want to hear some of the dialogues me and the Lord have in the car when I'm driving to and from the radio station outside of Philadelphia. Actually, I'm glad you don't hear some of the conversations, because I'm really honest with him. I've learned in the relationship with the Lord, the best thing is honesty. He can take it. So if you have a hard time with something that he's telling you, or if you're struggling in life, tell him about it. Let him know. And then ask him for guidance. Ask him why certain things are happening. I can't promise he will always give you a concrete answer, because sometimes his answer will be, well, you just have to trust me. But other times he will give you a concrete answer, and you will know why he is doing certain things. But just make sure you're having that dialogue with him every day, whether you feel like it or not. Well, let's take a look now at the Mass readings from the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 1, beginning in verse 14. A great king am I, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. And now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you do not listen, if you do not lay it to heart, to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and of your blessing I will make a curse. You have turned aside from the way, and have caused many to falter by your instruction. You have made void the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. I therefore have made you contemptible and base before all the people, since you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your decisions. Have we not all the one Father? Has not the one God created us? Why then do we break faith with one another, violating the covenant of our fathers? When we look at the gospel, we look at the responsorial psalm, we will tie these readings in together. But it's pretty obvious that the Lord in this first reading is reminding us, you know, these readings apply to us as well as to the original readers of these words. The Lord's reminding us that sometimes we don't keep his commandments. Sometimes we focus on other things. Sometimes we do what we want and we neglect to serve the Lord. It's very easy for that to happen in our lives because we have a lot of distractions. We have a fallen human nature and we slip up. It's more important to realize that you made a mistake and that you sometimes don't live up to God's standards than to fool yourself into thinking that you're doing such a great job that you need no improvement. When we went through the exercises for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, part of that process on this program here was to look inside of ourselves and to recognize that we are sinners and we need help. And that's why we consecrated our lives. If you went through the total consecration, you did this, you consecrated your life to Jesus through Mary, basically telling the Blessed Mother, Mary, Mom, I need your help to turn me into a saint. I need you to help me to grow closer to your son Jesus, because I just can't do it myself. If we look throughout our lives, we're going to see numerous occasions when we have fallen. Probably just today, if you look today, I know in my life I have. If you look back today and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, there's a good chance you will see opportunities when you didn't live up to God's expectations. Don't beat yourself up about it, but instead, dust yourself off, ask for the grace to continue, go to confession. Saturday is a great day to go to confession and start over. You know, that's what we're called to do with his help, and continue to ask the Lord for the help that you need. Psalm 131. This is one of my favorite psalms, and this is not one that, when it comes to favorite psalms, when it comes to psalms that you hear a lot, This isn't one that you hear a lot, but it really sums up a great concept. Psalm 131, "In you, O Lord, I have found my peace. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty. I busy not myself with great things, nor with things too sublime for me. Nay, rather, I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child on its mother's lap. So is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, both now and forever." Too many times, we think we're smarter than God. And we assume that we know what's best for our lives. It happens all the time. The way we get to heaven is by becoming like little children and trusting the Lord and going along with his plan. It's so hard for us as cynical adults to trust God when things don't appear to be going well, right? When things are going fine, it's really easy to trust him. But when things get turned upside down in our lives, what happens? We begin to question, and we begin to think that we know better than he does. This happens, and this happens because of pride. I do it. You probably do it as well. And again, we don't want to beat ourselves up, but we just want to recognize that we have this tendency to sometimes, and to acknowledge that this is an area that we need to work on. And honestly, if you learn to trust God, and it's an acquired skill, it's not something that many of us can just flip a switch and start doing. It takes time. But if you learn to trust God, not only are you becoming more humble, but you are going to get a lot more peace in your life. Because when something questionable happens, when something unpleasant happens, you give him the benefit of the doubt. Now, again, I'm not telling you that you can force yourself to do this, but I just want you to know that it is possible. It's possible, and it is a gradual process. It starts by getting to know him, by speaking to him every day, and having that friendship with the Lord grow. As that friendship grows, so does the trust. And you can also ask him for help. You can say, "Lord, help me to trust you more." That's a scary thing, especially when you have to say, "Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust you as much as I should. Help me to trust you more." That first part's tough, isn't it? But here's the deal. You know as well as I do, he knows that already. He knows we don't trust him. That's why we begin to get anxious when things happen in our lives that we don't understand. I've told you I'm going through some things right now in the past month or so, probably longer than that, that require me to trust. Not easy. It's not my nature. I'm a control freak. I like to be in charge. So for me to trust that God knows what he's doing, it is not always easy for me. But the more I do it, again, with his help, by reading Psalms like this, by reading his words in Scripture, by praying, by receiving the Eucharist as often as I can, by going to confession as often as I can, by doing these things, he and I are growing closer. And it's easier for me to trust. Is it a lot easier than it was yesterday? No. But if I look at my life today and compare it to 5, 6, 7 years ago, I can see a difference. As long as we're trying each day to trust him more, then we're on the right track. That's a great psalm, Psalm 131. "I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child, like a weaned child on its mother's lap. So is my soul within me." Can you picture yourself sitting on the Lord's lap and you're a little child and you're just trusting him? And you feel safe because you're in his lap. That is an absolutely great thought. The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. "Brothers and sisters, we were gentle among you as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. You recall, brothers and sisters, our toil and drudgery, working night and day in order not to burden any of you. We proclaim to you the gospel of God. And for this reason, we too give thanks to God unceasingly, that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received not a human word, but as it truly is, the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. There are a lot of concepts that I could touch on in this second reading. The first one is that Paul is referring to himself caring for his followers as a mother, a nursing mother, would care for her children. So we see that same connection, that same idea of a nursing mother, motherly love, that was expressed in the psalm that Paul has for his followers. And he said that he was determined to share with the Thessalonians the gospel of God, not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. And he talks about working in toil and drudgery, working night and day. Paul had a side job. Paul was a tent maker. And he didn't want to burden the people of Thessalonica. And he was basically finding ways to earn a living on the side so he could continue to preach. Paul didn't have it easy, but Paul felt a great love for the people to whom he ministered. For that reason, we give thanks to God unceasingly that in receiving the word of God from hearing us. Now, this is important to understand when we get into the idea of the word of God. It's more than just the words that have been written down in the Bible. And that's why Catholics believe what we believe. Here's a biblical proof of that. In hearing, receiving the word of God from hearing us, not from passing out Bibles, because at the point Paul is writing this letter, the Bible hadn't been fully compiled yet. The New Testament did not exist. So right here in the Bible, we are told scripturally that the word of God consists both in a written form, which are the words we're reading here right now, and an oral form, which is sacred tradition with a capital T. And he mentions you received not a human word, but as it truly is the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. And really, that's the secret. In order for God's word, and who is the word? The word is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the word of God. In order for that word to take effect, to have an effect in our lives, we have to believe. We have to believe that, yes, he is the Messiah, and we must be willing to listen to what he has to say and put it into practice. And that's how he can become effective in our lives. The gospel is from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi. As for you, do not be called Rabbi. You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father, for you have one Father in heaven. Do not be called Master, for you have but one Master, the servant. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Now see what happens here. This gospel ties into that responsorial psalm, the fact that we are called through Psalm 131 to be like little children, trusting, being submissive, being humble enough to listen to God and observe what he does in our lives and learn to trust him. And the first reading is the same thing. Have we not all the one Father? Has not one God created us? Again, that reference in that first reading to what we just heard, that we all have one Father in heaven. We are all united, and we all have one Father in heaven. He's talking about in the prophet Malachi in the first reading, the Lord is saying, you do not listen. I give a command to you, you do not listen. if you do not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. In other words, the people are not listening to the Lord. They're not really putting his words into practice. And essentially, that's what's happening in the gospel, too. The Pharisees and the scribes, they are basically going through the motions. And look, let's be honest, we all can do that at times. I spent many years going through the motions. I would like to say I never go through the motions anymore, but that's not true, because sometimes I do. Sometimes I preach a good game, but I don't necessarily practice what I preach. So we're all called to take the Lord's words seriously and to put them into practice. Are you doing that? If not, ask for the help to do that. All right, if you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. We got about 10 minutes left. Let's open the catechism and look at what the catechism has to say about sacred scripture. And if you ever wondered what Catholics believe, you may not be Catholic, you may be Catholic. If you ever wondered what we believe about scripture, here is what we believe about scripture. Now, even though this catechism was written in the early 1990s, it doesn't contain any new information, no new doctrinal beliefs, no new dogma. It is just a collection of 2,000 years of church teaching. Paragraph 101, in regard to sacred scripture, in order to reveal himself to men in the condescension of his goodness, God speaks to them in human words. Indeed, the words of God expressed in the words of men are in every way like human language, just as the word of the Eternal Father, when he took on himself the flesh of human weakness, became like men. Through all the words of sacred scripture, God speaks only one single word, with a capital W, his one utterance, in whom he expresses himself completely. Okay, so, in sacred scripture, in the Bible is sometimes referred to as the Word of God. And again, in Catholic belief, it's a combination of the Bible and church teaching. So we have the Word of God coming in two forms. But who is the Word of God? The Word of God is Jesus. So if you read your Bible, you will encounter Jesus. It's really important to know that that's what we believe. And that should make you really want to read your Bible. Paragraph 103, for this reason, the church has always venerated the scriptures as she venerates the Lord's body. She never ceases to be present to the faithful. She never ceases to present to the faithful, the bread of life taken from the one table of God's word and Christ's body. So essentially, when you go to Mass, you are fed from the table of the body of Christ, and you also receive his word. So we get that twofold blessing whenever we go to Mass. In sacred scripture, paragraph 104, the church constantly finds her nourishment and her strength, for she welcomes it not as human word, but what it really is, the word of God. In the sacred books, listen to this, the Father who is in heaven comes lovingly to meet his children, and he talks with them. So when you open up the Bible, God speaks to you. Whenever somebody tells me that God never speaks to me, I will say, do you read the Bible? You cannot say God doesn't speak to you if you are reading the Bible. Because every time you open up your Bible and read the words contained therein, God speaks to you. And in fact, it is the most reliable way to hear God speak to you, through the Bible. Please keep that in mind. And therefore, as Catholics, we certainly respect the Bible. And we believe that every word of the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's why so much of my show consists of scripture. It's so important to me to be able to bring you scripture every day. So when you open up the Bible, God speaks to you. Inspiration and truth of sacred scripture. Who is the author of sacred scripture? Paragraph 105. God is the author of sacred scripture. Ultimately, even though he used human writers to put these words down on paper, God is the author of sacred scripture. They have been written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there is a quote here for Holy Mother Church, relying on the faith of the apostolic age, accepts as sacred and canonical the books of the Old and the New Testaments, whole and entire, with all their parts, on the grounds that, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they have God as their author and have been handed on as such to the Church herself. That comes from the Vatican II document, De Verbum, the Word of God. We accept, as Catholics, every book, every word in the Bible as God's inspired word. That doesn't mean you can take a piece out of context. When you read the Bible, you have to read it as a whole. That's why it's important. The Old Testament, that's God's word. But if something in the New Testament elaborates on something you read in the Old Testament, or maybe beefs it up, or maybe emphasizes it in a different way, you've got to take that into account. So you have to take the whole Bible as a whole. Paragraph 106, God inspired the human authors of the sacred books. To compose the sacred books, God chose certain men, who all the while he employed them in this task, made full use of their own faculties and powers, so that though he acted in them and by them, it was as true authors that they consigned to writing whatever he wanted written, and no more. So that's where you're going to see different styles in the Bible. And it's important to understand some of the context in which these various books were written. Different people, different authors, different styles, but all of these individuals were inspired to write what they did by the Holy Spirit. The inspired books teach the truth, since therefore all that the inspired authors or sacred writers affirm should be regarded as affirmed by the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge that the books of Scripture firmly, faithfully, and without error teach the truth which God, for the sake of our salvation, which wished to see confided to the sacred Scriptures. Still, the Christian faith is not a religion of the book. Christianity is the religion of the Word of God, a word which is not a written and mute word, but the word which is incarnate and living. If the Scriptures are not to remain a dead letter, Christ, the eternal Word of the living God, must, through the Holy Spirit, open our minds to understand the Scriptures. So when we read the Bible, it's always a good idea to pray to the Holy Spirit for inspiration, and also to keep in mind what the Church teaches. So when you read your Bible, you should have some idea about the framework of Catholic teaching so that you don't come up with a crazy interpretation. Yeah, there are things you can interpret incorrectly. For instance, the sixth chapter of John's Gospel refers to the Eucharist. If you think that the Lord is talking about eating his body in a symbolic way, you're wrong. Because the Church, remember, who compiled the books of the Bible, the Church put all these books together and said, yes, they are inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Church has declared that Jesus there is speaking literally, that in order to be able to get to heaven, we must eat his body and drink his blood. So there is a case where there is a specific interpretation. All right, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you for listening to the program today. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. God willing, I'm going to be back here with you on Monday. If you have any questions, please send them to Gary@followingthetruth.com. Remember, I still need your donations. Need them very badly right about now. Followingthetruth.com. Click on support, and you can sign up to become a monthly sponsor of my work, or you can make a one-time donation. Don't forget, your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee help me as well. And remember, the only podcast for warriors, in addition to this one, I do Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. That's a subscription-based podcast, which you can find at podcastforwarriors.com. Thanks again for hanging out with me. Thank you for all that you do to keep me going, your prayers, your financial support, and just your kind words. I'm so grateful for that. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, wherever you go, today, tomorrow, Sunday, the Lord is with you. Make sure you say hi. Until we meet again, this is Gary Zimek saying thanks for listening. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.